When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When we talk about the way that the Angels are kind of using their first-round picks and developing them, they appear to be taking the approach of like, hey, we're happy to let the last stage of development be developing at the big league level.
Let's do this. It is Hot Sheet coming up, our most watched show ever. So we appreciate the fans that were either watching or listening. Of course, you can find this if you're on YouTube. You can type in Baseball America wherever you get your pods. We'll take questions. I know some Astros fans have hopped in right from the jump. Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, and Jeff Ponce from Baseball America. Go get yourself a BA subscription to get more on the prospect we're about to get into. But that's Zach Tessenzo. Jeff, what do you know about him as the Astros make a call up here, coming off the big trade for Yusei Kikuchi, getting rid of some players that are obviously either up in the bigs or very close to the bigs, you know, upper level prospects in terms of, you know, how close they were to the majors or in the majors. What about this one? Did you expect this?
Yeah, I think we had had a conversation earlier today for one of our, we're doing different breakdown podcasts, going through all the different systems. We did an ALS podcast. I think I called it out to JJ earlier that I thought this guy could be up in the big leagues pretty shortly. He dealt with some injuries earlier in the year, was a guy that was kind of hot last year. I think didn't make our top 100, but had made some other industry top 100 lists. Was actually a 12th round pick out of Ohio State, guy that showed out in the draft league, huge power. The contact and approach has really started to tick up. I think he's a little bit of an underrated athlete just in terms of a runner and what he can do defensively. He really been showing out since he was promoted up to AAA a couple weeks ago. I think through 11 games, four home runs, 14 runs, 13 RBIs. He's hitting 391, 472, 739, showing off that power. A guy that I thought was definitely in the mix next year, especially when you consider Alex Bregman on the last year of his contract. Dezenzo plays the same position. This is definitely a name that I think could be interesting, especially if he gets some run here with the Astros. He has the ability. He's shown the hit ability, and it's major power. I think it's plus-plus raw. You're talking about a guy that, you know, max exit velocities the last couple of years have been well over 110. 90th percentile is in that 107 range, which is pretty elite. In terms of just looking at raw power, he's kind of on par with, you know, James Wood, Davis and De Los Santos, those guys that can really mash. And I think that there's, you know, some hit tools was a little bit closer to Wood. Overall skills, really interesting, kind of a late bloomer. But yeah, I think a player that if I was an Astros fan, I'd be excited to see what he can do over, you know, the stretch run here.
And the other thing that just stands out to me about this is what the Astros need to keep doing. Dezenzo, as Jeff mentioned, is kind of a later round find, a later round pick who's kind of blossomed. They have to keep doing this because this team is getting older. This team is losing guys to free agency probably over the next couple of years. If a Dezenzo can step in, and again, he's not going to be Alex Bregman, but if he could give them a regular, another solid regular, which I think is going to be a defensively, we'll see. That might be a tough ask, but if he can, that would really fill a need for them. And so I think right now this is, hey, it's a hot bat. They could use the help. And when you look at this team right now, you know, there are a couple of different places that he could probably find some at bats, but it is kind of aggressive. It's interesting to see how quickly they moved him up. But as Jeff noted, it was a really strong, if brief, time in AAA.
So before we get into some other organizations and where they're at from a prospect perspective, we might as well hit the Astros for a quick minute here. So, Jeff, what do you think about the Astros system right now? I mean, they've taken some hits in terms of the penalties going back to the sign stealing scandal that hurts them. Being a good team always is going to hurt you because you're going to pick at the back of drafts. You're going to have less bonus pool money and you're going to make trades. So when you add all that up, where are they at?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it earlier today, JJ and I, and it's definitely a system that is in the back half, you know, maybe to the bottom 5 to 6 systems overall. In the game. The thing with the Astros is it's a really good top 5, maybe even a good top 6 if you want to include Ferrucci, who I thought was an interesting pick that they got this year in the draft. Their top 5 is still pretty talented. They have a guy in Jacob Melton who's been a top 100, back into the top 100 guy for us for a while. Bryce Matthews, last year's first round pick, is a really interesting player. This year's first round pick, Walker Yannick, gives them some catching depth in the minors. They really didn't have much of in the way of actual catching prospects, a lot of org guys. He's one of the better defensive catchers in the draft. We'll see how the bat plays out. DiCenzo's right there in the top 5. And they don't have a lot of exciting names between sort of like 7 and 30 or even beyond. But it's also one of these systems where every single year it seems like you get a Ronel Blanco. You get somebody that breaks out, really like exceeds what the expectations are, even sometimes internally within the org, and they perform. They've done a good job of developing. And I feel like this is a system where it's always a little underrated because the names aren't flashy, but they continually churn out big leaguers, sometimes from spots where, you know, I don't think anyone really was that high in Chaz McCormick. It's turned out to be a pretty decent big leaguer, obviously down a little bit this year, had a great year last year. But you look overall, the names aren't exciting, but it's still the Astros. It's still a great player development org. They've done a good job of coaching these guys up. So I think it's one that maybe ranks there, but maybe with a little bit more upside than we even know, because we can't see the future, unfortunately.
I'm going to be the more pessimistic here, I guess. This is a bottom tier farm system right now, in my opinion. There are every team has at least one player in our top 100 right now. So the Astros do have a top 100 prospect, as Jeff mentioned, but they're also one of only two teams who have only one, and that one is not a top 50 prospect. Jack Caglione really helps out the Royals there. But you look at this, it's one top 100 prospect, a couple of other guys who could fit in that 100 to 200, 250. I'd even say maybe DiCenzo, but then the depth of this system really drops off as well. It is absolutely, if you're comparing this farm system to, say, the Angels, I'm absolutely going to give the edge to the Astros from a, okay, which org do I feel comfortable with is going to develop some of these guys? We see the Chaz McCormicks, the Ronel Blancos, the guys who kind of exceed expectations coming out of the Astros system way more often than we see that coming out of, say, the Angels system. But still, this is a system that's thin now, partly also because they just sent away some of their better prospects, Joey Loprofito, Jake Bloss, just got shipped in the Yusei Kikuchi deal. So it's helping out the big league club, but it does thin this out. And other than the you know, Walker Yannick's a nice guy, a nice first round pick catcher who really gives them fills a need they had in their system for depth. But this is a system that's kind of thin right now and isn't really equipped to kind of fill all the needs that are likely to come open in the next couple of years because of free agency and the aging of this extremely successful, extremely talented core they've had in Houston.
So JJ, take us on the other side of the equation to what kind of changes we should expect. I know, you know, the organizational talent rankings are coming out tomorrow and you're going over updates with players, finding new teams. Of course, you had some mega sellers, especially down in Florida with both ball clubs. So what should we look forward to if you have Baseball America subscription and seeing some players finding new places and boosting teams?
So the Orioles have been our number one farm system for an extremely long time now. And we are nearing the very waning edge of that, of the Orioles being kind of at the top tier, not because these guys have failed or anything like that, but because when you graduate, because they've already graduated Colton Kelsher, and they've already when you're going to graduate Jackson Holiday and Kobe Mayo, who's up, and Kay Povich may graduate because he's not as the minors now, but 37 innings now. And Heston Kjerstad's going to graduate one of these days. They traded away Connor Norby and Joey Ortiz and DL Hall. This is a team that's kind of headed towards a middle of the pack farm system before long, but for the right reasons, which is if you keep graduating players year after year after year, who then become regulars at the big league level, you should take a hit. The flip side of what you said, I would expect the Rays are kind of a team that generally lives at the top of our farm system rankings. They've kind of taken a hit over the last couple of years. They haven't had as much pitching after that group of Shane McClanahan and Todd Bradley graduated, Shane Boz has graduated, guys like that. They've kind of now restocked. They made a lot of moves, obviously, a lot of moves at the trade deadline, but it's not just that. They still have Carson Williams. They basically have an infield of top 100 prospects. They have Caminero, who's their top-ranked prospect at third base. You have Carson Williams, who's a true shortstop who's in Double-A. You have Xavier Isaac, who's the best first-base prospect arguably in the game right now. And then their first-rounder for 2023, Braden Taylor, can play second base. So that's a full infield of top prospects. And then you have the emergence of a guy like Gary Gill-Hill, who's now one of the best young pitching prospects in the game. The Rays are now kind of making noise that maybe they could be the best farm system in the game again, which a couple months ago, I would have not said that was possible or likely. Of course, they also, when we talk about this, for these purposes, they're helped by the fact that Junior Caminero is still in the minors, which if Junior Caminero, who has had some leg injuries this year, but if Caminero graduated, we'd probably be talking a little differently.
Yeah, and I think you can look at some of these AL Central teams as well that have ranked pretty highly, will rank pretty highly. I think, the Twins, as well as the Guardians and the Tigers. The Tigers are just about a top five farm system right now. There's some talent there. It's not all pitching concentrated as well. I know this is something I've talked with JJ about in the last couple of days, but you look at it, they have a lot of interesting positional players kind of even down the ranks. There's a little bit more system depth than what they had. And I just feel like I'm way more confident in this particular Detroit rebuild than I had been in the previous regime's Detroit rebuild, where a lot of that was focused on pitching and kind of the old adages. For every, one pitching prospect that makes it, you probably have two or three that fail. And we've kind of seen that play out a little bit in Detroit. So I think you look at that system now, more up the middle players, adding a player like Bryce Rainier from this year's draft at pick 11, I think was a huge win for them. And then, you have other teams in the AL Central, a team like the Guardians, who have kind of been the kings of consistency over the last couple of years, which is consistently, it seems like they have a lot of depth. They have some high-end prospects, maybe not the most high-end prospects, but they usually have a handful of top 100 type players or top 100 adjacent players. And then a lot of guys that are sort of within that 150 to say 300 range as well.
Okay, so let's go back to the Orioles to cue up our next segment, which we do almost every week. Let's take a little trip.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. We mean it. We have a college baseball writer opening at Baseball America right now. And where are we posting it? Indeed, because Indeed makes hiring easy and it gives us great candidates. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses, including Baseball America, worldwide, that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true for even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got two dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's BADLANDSFOOD.com/baseball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great little graphic holiday adventure. You know, I always picture all the holidays in that minivan going somewhere, and they're all pretty big dudes. Jackson's much smaller than Ethan, right? Ethan's got more bulk.
They're like in the seats, in the bucket seats from Jackson.
That's right. Right. And they're all cramped up in the back seat. Like, Dad, when do I get the front seat? Anyway, Jackson Holiday is taking center stage. Okay. He comes up, gets his first big league homer. It's a big grand slam on a 2-strike count. And it looks like the refresh button worked from the jump, JJ. So 10 games of Struggle City. Get in line when you're 20 years old. It's normal.
Not only is it normal, but what we're seeing, it's not just him, right? We've seen this with Jackson Holiday now. Look at what, Jackson Churio, speaking of Jacksons, look, Jackson Churio's doing. We're seeing some of these guys, some of these really young elite prospects kind of get settled in, and now that they're settled in, they can do a little bit more. Like, to take an example from last year, look at what Ellie De La Cruz is doing now. Ellie De La Cruz was on the, he was on the struggle bus at times last year after he got up to the big leagues. He would flash kind of those moments, but we've seen now, like, just give these guys a little bit of time to get settled. The talent then rises to the top. And if Jackson Holiday can keep doing anything close to what he did in this last week, then that kind of fills what was really the last hole maybe in the Orioles lineup. The Orioles lineup is stacked, loaded with hitters that you go, okay, well, this is a 1-8, 1-9 lineup that you don't want to really face much of anybody. If everything's rolling like it can, I just look at what Holiday could do at the bottom of this lineup even as kind of taking this Orioles team to another level.
Yeah, and I think, we've seen what depth and having positional depth does for an organization. We saw it with the Astros. We saw it with the Cubs before that. I think the Orioles are just following suit in terms of the right way to build up an organization from sort of the bottom up. And, they lose Jordan Westberg. This was an all-star guy who's having, a standout season. There's not many teams, if anybody, that can then replace that player or bring somebody into the lineup. Or even a couple when you consider Kobe Mayo, though he's kind of going through his initial struggle bus right now. There's not many teams that can bring up a guy like this that has this level of impact, and this level of pedigree and ability when they lose a player like that, especially when it's right after the deadline. It's usually a time that teams start to panic a little bit. The Orioles haven't. I think they were smart to not trade away some of these top prospects, even if there might have been deals out there to be made. They were able to reinforce the pitching staff, and then on top of it, hold on to guys like Jackson Holiday and Kobe Mayo.
So, guys, who's next? JJ, give me another name that comes to mind over these next couple months that could make a major impact in the big leagues for a contender or a non-contender, but a name that we're going to be talking about on future Hot Sheets.
I kind of say it's kind of hard to imagine for non-contender now because there's a lot of reasons not to, bring up the non-contenders except for maybe a little bit of a cup of coffee. But I'll be interested to see, when are we going to see Junior Caminero? I got to see Caminero at AAA Durham last week, and for the first time all year, I could almost say, like, since the first couple of weeks, he looks healthy. I'm not saying that he's moving as well as he's done pre-injury, because, again, he's had a kind of nagging leg injuries this year. But the power is legit. And the thing that I just love that I'm looking forward for Rays fans to get to see at the big league level with Caminero is, man, he's just fun to watch, not only because of the power and things like that, but he's engaged in the game. And this was just kind of your run-of-the-mill AAA game, and it looked like it was opening day for him from the standpoint of, like, he thought that a Gwinnett, you know, base runner missed third base, so he goes over to the pitcher, hey, let's appeal. The umpire, I don't think, really paid a whole lot of attention, to be honest. And so he was convinced, and he kind of talking genuinely friendly way to the umpire next couple of innings. Guy comes over to third base. He's all engaged. When he was living and dying with his pitchers, just kind of the total package of, you want to see a young guy like this who obviously has light tower power, but on top of it is a guy who kind of is a breath of fresh air, you know, for a team when he comes up too, from the standpoint of, like, wow, this guy's locked in from the first pitch to the last pitch. So Caminero is my, you know, my choice for whenever he comes up, which I can't imagine is going to be too long from now. I know that they did get Christopher Morel back in that, you know, in the trade of Isaac Paredes, but at the same time, Morel can play multiple positions, and Caminero is the Rays third baseman of the very near future, I would imagine.
If I had to throw a name out there, and this was actually a question that I got in the chat, would be Brandon Sproat, just promoted to AAA. The Mets, if they're still in, you know, still in the race here down the stretch, he pitches well over a couple of starts in AAA and is dominant the way that he was recently in AA. I think his last start had 11 consecutive strikeouts. I think 8 of those were via swinging strikes. You know, huge stuff, sits 96 to 97 miles per hour in a fastball, has a swing and miss slider, show a curveball and a changeup as well. Like, that's a guy that could come up and, you know, regardless of what the role is, whether it's as a reliever or as a starter, could be a difference maker here down the stretch. So that's a name that I'm kind of looking forward to seeing maybe in the big league level.
And I've got one more, which this is kind of my sleeper pick, because now I should say sleeper. Baseball America readers know, because he's number 11 on our Dodgers list now. But I would say that probably a lot of people out there don't really have not heard the name Edgardo Henriquez yet, which is okay if you haven't. He came into the year, he was Rule 5 eligible last year, but no one was going to take a guy who had yet to pitch above low A coming off of Tommy John surgery. But the Dodgers this year sent him back to low A to start the year, then promoted him to high A, then promoted him to double A. Now there are reports that he's going to triple A this week. And when you say, well, why, you know, why you bring this guy up? Orion Kerkering did this last year, where he went all four levels of the minors and then pitched in the big league bullpen late in the season and in the postseason. Henriquez is the guy who I think fits that bill perfectly. 103 mile an hour fastball. That's where he touches. He's touching 103.5, but he sits now like 100 miles an hour. And it's really the low to mid 90s slider that really is the pitch that just absolutely makes hitters kind of melt, because you see it sometimes. It's fun when you watch him. If you have a fastball, he can front door a slider to right-handed hitters, because it looks like the fastball coming out of the hand and it starts at your head and then it ducks into the zone for a called strike. It's kind of hard to really hit that. It's kind of hard to stay in on that when he is a little bit wild at times. 42% strikeout rate across his minor league season so far. Second best in the minor, Craig Yoho of the Brewers, another very interesting reliever, the only one better than that. But this is a name to keep an eye on, because, I mean, it's velocity, obviously. It's 100, 101, 102. But there's also this second pitch to go with it. He's just as good against, he's actually a little bit better against lefties than righties, because he's got some cutting action. That slider can be a cutter at times, and he also has some cut action on the fastball. Put it all together, this is an arm who could kind of go from a who is this guy to a, oh, he's got the seventh or eighth inning in the postseason. Wouldn't shock me at all, because an arm like this is pretty special.
Yeah, you'll take the growing pains in the big leagues if it's going to mostly give you those kind of results. So I like that. Pay attention to that name. And also, we cover names like that for the Dodgers with Dodgers Territory. So if you want to check out that show on YouTube, they've got their own channel. Mondays and Thursdays, the show is live. They're locked in on the Major League Club, and they talk about the minor league prospects as well. We've got a Cubs show called Northside, a Philly show, there are a number of programs that are under the Foul Territory Network, Hammer Territory as well. So if you want to check out some team-specific shows, we've got them for you. Okay, next up, let's shout out one hot sheet player besides the one that we started with at the top of the show that sticks out this week. JJ, you got someone for us?
So we also looked, we've kind of been doing all these updates recently and kind of looking at prospect risers and all. And one that just jumps out, we've been talking about a good bit so far this year, but coming into the year, coming out of the draft last year, you say, okay, Max Clark, the Tigers' first round pick, is a guy you really got to watch. You know, he's one of the top players in the class. But now at this point, I would say that you have to say that Kevin McGonigle, the shortstop who they took also last year in the draft, the high school shortstop, is right there with Clark. They're now kind of much more paired together on our top 100. McGonigle is a guy who really kind of stands out to me as very well-rounded, having an excellent year. It's moved up to high A. Him and Clark moved up to high A, West Michigan together. But that's one that jumps out for me. And if I kick this to Jeff, I think I know the answer, because we've been talking, this is another guy that we've been talking about a lot this year.
Yeah, name I'm going to throw out there is Quinn Matthews. Is that who you thought I was going to say, JJ, or did I throw you off?
No, I thought you were going to go Christian Campbell.
We could go Christian Campbell.
No, you can go Quinn Matthews. Go ahead, Quinn Matthews.
But they're kind of equals in some ways. We're like, you know, guys that I think were very different players in college. And in a lot of ways, Christian Campbell is kind of exactly what Quinn Matthews is as a hitter, where it was more basic, you know, what your grandpa or your little league coach is going to like. Guy that makes a lot of contact, wasn't hitting for a lot of power. You know, was a solid ball player. Kind of the same with Quinn Matthews. Didn't have huge stuff, but was a guy that went out there and competed, would consistently throw 100-plus pitches every time he went out for Stanford. We didn't know. I at least had seen him in the Cape. I had never anticipated this to be a guy to be sitting 94, 95 miles per hour with his fastball and doing that without losing his shape. He's taken a big step forward in terms of stuff, in terms of execution, and is a guy that I think is very much in the picture next year for the Cardinals. I think it's the same thing with Christian Campbell, where they really bought into the bat speed training that I know that, you know, Jason Ochart and the Red Sox have really just really hammered on. I mean, at every single level, that's a big part of the off the field work. And the stuff that they're doing in the cages, you know, with the blast balls and all that sort of thing. This is a guy that added bat speed, added impact, and really has been able to sort of settle in as he's moved up levels in terms of finding a good balance of those classic bat-to-ball skills plus bat-to-ball skills that he had at Georgia Tech, plus the new added impact. I mean, his teammates, you know, Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony were joking around with us at the prospect pad that they call him Barry Bonds. Like that's actually what their nickname is for Christian Campbell, because the numbers are absurd. I mean, you go and you look at it, this guy has probably as good of a chance as anybody to be minor league player of the year. And there's just a lot of excitement around this Boston system right now and the top of the system, and particularly that Portland team. And he's right in the thick of things.
Okay. I got to throw one other out because it's kind of a little bit artificial. I'm almost cheating here, but the Angels took Christian Moore with their first round pick. They promoted him to Double A Rocket City, pretty much within an hour of his arrival on the minor league side. And I think at this point, you look at what they did with Nolan Shanuel last year. You look at what they've done with Zach Neto. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's in the big leagues a couple of weeks. Couple weeks from now, he will still be rookie of the year eligible. He'll still have the service time where he could be PPI incentive eligible for next year, all that. And it would just not shock me at all if Christian Moore is in the big leagues this year, which for most anyone else, we would say is kind of a, wow, that's a crazy prediction. But when we talk about the way that the Angels are kind of using their first round picks and developing them, they appear to be taking the approach of like, hey, we're happy to let the last stage of development be developing at the big league level. They've seen Nolan Shanuel's been better lately. July was probably his best month as a big leaguer. So now we'll see, you know, if they do that with Christian Moore.
Quick follow-up. Sorry, Jeff. I was just going to jump in. Quick follow-up. Do you guys think that it's part of the pitch when there's the phone call with the player or the scout, you know, is talking to the player or the team is talking to the agent, the whole deal? I mean, obviously, you know what's going on, but if you're talking to a first round pick and you want to make sure you lock in the money, you could be like, hey, I wouldn't nickel and dime here because if you get picked by us, you're going to get an extra year of service time. So if you think you're good, JJ, then you're going to make a lot more money than, you know, the extra couple hundred thousand dollars you're trying to fight for right now.
So in the CBA, I believe 2012, they took away, it used to be you could have the, hey, we're going to sign you to this, but by the way, we're going to add you to you're going to get a big league call up in September, their first year. And they banned that. You couldn't sign to a major league contract anymore. And you couldn't promise something like that, you know, as a codified, like, hey, you're going to get a September call up. But the Angels, yeah, like if you just look at it from a purely financial perspective, right? If you're talking to, again, say someone like Christian Moore, and you're saying, look, if you come out and do what we expect you to do, I think you have to couch it like that. Well, then we're going to put you in the big leagues way faster than anyone else. Not just you get that service time, but boom, all of a sudden you're major league minimum a month and a half after the draft potentially. Well, all of a sudden that's real money. Major league minimum compared to minor league minimum is real money. So yeah, it does provide some additional inducements. Now, again, with the language now, I don't think you could promise anything. You definitely can't codify anything. But it absolutely is something where the Angels could use this as a pitch now where they don't have to say, we're going to do this for you. They could say, just look at what we do. We move guys fast. And you look at a Zach Neto, a Nolan Schanuel, those guys are going to hit free agency at a younger age than pretty much anyone else in their draft classes among the college draftees because of how quickly the Angels moved them.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is getting to free agency younger is going to earn you more dollars, it's going to earn you more years. You know, when we talk about the stuff in the offseason, it's not just the annual salary, it's about the years, the commitment of getting, you know, 7-8 years. The other point I want to make is Christian Moore, of those three guys, and I love Zach Neto, one of my favorite Cape players of all time, an absolute dog out there, but Christian Moore is the most talented of these three. I don't think that's not a stretch. He's the only guy of those three that didn't play at a mid-major. He played in the SEC for 3 years, was arguably the best hitter in the SEC that's not named Charlie Condon. I think that's a pretty easy one to put out there. In some ways, kind of down the stretch in SEC play, went toe-to-toe with Condon in terms of what his abilities are. There's big power here. I think there's less development even. This is a guy that I think in a lot of other organizations probably would have moved fairly quickly. So I think this is maybe one of the few times where it actually makes sense. And, you know, you could kind of look at what their track record's been and say, yeah, he took a little bit less money in the draft than maybe we had anticipated, went there to the Angels at 8 and is already up in AA. We know they don't like to send the guys to AAA. If he continues to hit at AA, I think it's pretty much assured that he's going to be, you know, in the major leagues by August 25th, 26th at minimum.
I will say it makes Angels fans much more dialed in on the MLB draft. They should be more dialed in on the first pick than any other fan in terms of quickness, right? Because this player could be up in the bigs. It is cool. Hey, that's one of the knocks on the draft. Oh, you draft this guy, don't see him forever. Not the Angels. You're going to see him pretty much right away, okay? Be patient. Wait a month or two, and then there you go. So that's it for us today. Thanks for hanging with us. If you want a lot more on the Astros system and you just joined us here live during the YouTube show, make sure you backtrack. And we're here every single week on Hot Sheet, 3 o'clock Eastern time, all year long, live. We'll see you next time.